This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 13th of September 2020. Today is a club focus edition of News West, where clubs have free rein to promote themselves and their activities. Today we have a tribute to Don VK6DN Silent Key. There's club news from WAVHF Group, Ham College, Bunbury Radio Group and WA Amateur Radio News. Alan VK4SN announces the Remembrance Day contest results and Jeff gives us his account of his foray into the RD contest. And there were some VK6 amateurs who gained a spot in the RD contest. You'll hear about that later. This and more on News West, your amateur radio news service in Western Australia since 1931. Today it's my sad duty to talk about the passing of a friend, an amateur, Don Pugh, VK6DN. Don passed away last Monday after a short illness. You'll hear part of Don's story shortly, with a replay of an item we did last year based on an article about him in the September 1979 edition of the Amateur Radio magazine. I met Don in 2006, not long after I obtained my first amateur radio license. I was invited to lunch in Northbridge with this mob called Prawnheads. The person who invited me didn't turn up, and I didn't have a clue who I was meeting. I was hesitant to ask random people if they were Prawnheads, for obvious reasons. But bearing in mind that they were mostly amateur radio operators, I jumped in and introduced myself to a table full of likely suspects. Don was amongst the suspect. In fact, he was acknowledged as the chairman of Prawnheads. Do you see what they did there? In the ensuing years, having met Don for lunch almost every week, our friendship grew and I found Don to be very knowledgeable, well-read, happy with a glass of red in his hand, and a wicked sense of humour. Many people turned to Don for a wise word of counsel, including me. Don helped me through a dark time, and I know he's helped others, all with no fuss and matter-of-factly. I'm terribly saddened at Don's passing, and I know others feel the same. We'll miss Don. We'll miss him for a long time. Tomorrow, September the 14th, Don's family and friends will gather at 2 p.m. at the Royal Freshwater Bay Yacht Club, Keens Point, in Peppermint Grove. Those wishing to attend are requested to RSVP online. The online site has been advertised at the WA Hams email list and the Amateur Radio Western Australia Facebook group. So let's just pause for a while in respect and remembrance of Don. Vale Don Pugh, VK6 Delta November, Silent Key.
Many of you will know Don, VK6DN, the wheelchair-bound stalwart of Prawnheads. Don is living proof of how to lead a full and successful life despite a major disability. It is now over 40 years since Don was injured, and in the September 1979 issue of AR Magazine, he authored an article, Ham Radio for Rehabilitation. Here is an abstract of what he wrote. The radio conversation was in no way unusual. VK6ZAT, this is VK6DN, I said. How are you today, Bruce? The temperature is going up to 40 degrees C. Sure glad my room is air-conditioned. What was unusual was that I had just broken my neck at the cervical 5, 6 and 7 level 3 days before. Lying in the intensive care unit of Royal Perth Hospital Rehabilitation Centre, my body paralysed from the shoulders down. Only my arms could move, and those only weakly upwards. The effects were devastating on a person who had been leading an active life of hiking, bicycling, scuba diving and flying. As a Canadian from Toronto who had arrived in Perth in 1977 to teach high school, I enjoyed the sun-filled sandgroper life. and extended my stay from 1 to 3 years. In December 1978, a lift in a car from Perth to Adelaide proved tragic. The monotony of the Nullarbor Plains early in the morning caused the driver to doze at the wheel and the car rolled over. Asleep at the time, I regained consciousness to find myself still firmly strapped in the passenger seat, but unable to move a single limb. Transferred to Kalgoorlie by ambulance and flown to Perth by the Royal Flying Doctor Service, my x-rays brought the bad news that my spinal cord was severed and I would be confined to a wheelchair for life. During registration, I was assigned to Sir George Bedbrook, a pioneer and world-renowned authority in the field of spinal injuries. During our first meeting, the topic of amateur radio was discussed, and Sir George described his friendship with Jim Rundle, VK6RU, a local amateur. Jim had enabled Sir George to communicate on the air with a South African amateur who was the director of a large and progressive spinal unit. A call by Sir George to Jim led to the erection of a 2-metre antenna outside the intensive care unit. Once the antenna was erected, a nurse was able to hold my portable walkie-talkie and operate the off-on switch. Within a short time, I was in touch with my amateur friends. My first contact was with Bruce Jacobs, VK6ZAT, an active amateur who is also confined to a wheelchair due to loss of his legs. After a few contacts with Bruce, it became most apparent that modifications to the system were required, as I could not continue to impose on the busy nurses for an extended time. Discussions between Bruce and another amateur, Bob Wynne, VK6WY, a paraplegic who lectures in electronics at a technical college, led to a proposed solution. Bob, with a number of other interested amateurs, built an automatic scanner, which allowed my receiver to lock on in sequence for 3 seconds each of the 10 most actively used frequencies in the Perth area. If any channel was in use, the scanner locked on that channel. If I cared to talk on that channel, all I had to do was drop my arm momentarily onto a sensitive air bulb switch and turn on my transmitter. Hitting the switch again would turn off the transmitter and allow reception of my friend's conversation. The pressure required to operate the bulb was only a few grams, and I had to raise my arm only a few centimetres to clear the bulb, which was the limit of my ability at that time. Due to my weakness, it was possible for me to leave my transmitter on, which would lock the repeater on, preventing other amateurs from using it. Bob later installed a timing circuit which cut off my transmitter at the end of 3 minutes, putting the set back into receive condition. This allowed other amateurs to use the system again. During the next 6 to 8 weeks, rigidly confined to bed in spinal traction, amateur radio played an important rehabilitation role. Firstly, talking and listening to my friends on the radio provided a pleasant alternative to watching television at a time when it was impossible for me to read. Secondly, communication with my amateur friends was tremendously supportive, especially when I saw what Bruce and Bob could do and how they could live a normal, married and productive life, even on wheels. Thirdly, as my condition became known on the air, I was visited by many Perth amateurs. This both cheered me up and encouraged me to persevere in my recovery. Finally, the radio provided me with a link with normal life as it had been before the accident. WA Amateur Radio News compiles and produces the News West Amateur Radio News program, you're listening to it, every week of the year. We're not a large group and we welcome new members. We'd especially welcome members who can write news items. In fact, we welcome news items not written by our members. But getting back to WA Amateur Radio News, although producing News West is a large part of what we do, it's not everything we do. Another large effort we make is Perth Tech, and we had this event all organised, ready to go for 2020, with presenters lined up, bookings made, raffle prizes lined up, tickets ready to go on sale. Then we got COVID-ated, resulting in postponement and eventual cancellation of the event. So look out for 2021 as PerfTech is on the drawing board, and assuming the COVID thing settles and we don't break out in Ebola, bubonic plague or some other pestilence, PerfTech 2021 will happen with a vengeance. WA Amateur Radio News can be contacted by email to secretary@vk6.net. For all news-related correspondence, email newswest@vk6.net.
This is VK6 ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Hello once again from the WA VHF Group. Most of you will know of the new crossband FM repeater aboard the International Space Station, and some of you may already have had QSOs via it. Together with the Low Earth Orbit FM satellites AO91, AO92 and SO50, it gives more opportunities to try out satellite contacts. Ahead of our first activity day for this month, a few club members met at Wireless Hill to attempt contact via the ISS and AO92. Using a variety of antennas and rigs, we heard snippets of QSOs, but were unable to key the ISS repeater. A work in progress, but an activity that always attracts the interest of park visitors. That day particularly saw a huge throng visiting the park for wildflower viewing, general exercise, and in the late afternoon and evening, a dinner at dusk event with mobile food vans. Another reason to call past with the family and enjoy the park, see what we're doing, and have an evening meal. A major feature of the activity day was a presentation by Steve, VK6BBM, on his newly installed copy of Ham Radio Deluxe. Following that, Steve also ran through a series of slides by Palomar engineers on their range of ferrites, pre-made Ballon products, and one of their preferred portable HF antennas, the end-fed halfwave. Both presentations were well received, attracted plenty of questions and helpful comments, which highlights the camaraderie that this hobby can engender. It led to a discussion of various antenna types, including a reference by Dave, VK6AI, of the inverted U terminated at the remote end. This, in turn, prompted invitee Dave, VK6DM, to speak about Alexanderson antennas as used by 6WN at Wanneroo. The Alexanderson is a centre-fed dipole antenna with the ends bent towards the earth and terminated each end in non-inductive loads. A dipole version, if you will, of the inverted U. While some commentary exists on the web criticising the inverted terminated U antenna, some club members have indicated a willingness to experiment with this design, so perhaps we'll be able to report on our trials and tribulations anon. To anyone interested in finding out about us, please come to Wireless Hill during the afternoons of the first and third Saturdays of each month. You'll be most welcome. Have a cuppa and find that we are COVID safe. Bring the family as a bonus to enjoy the park and the flowers. Until next time, 73 from Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WA VHF Group.
Here's some news from the Bunbury Radio Club. Bunbury Radio Club has gone into limbo due to the coronavirus. The club has deferred its AGM that was planned for this month. The new date is yet to be finalised. As mentioned previously, the club has lost the use of their regular meeting premises and are in the process of finding a new one. It's not a good time to be searching given all the restrictions on non-essential meetings, etc. Any suggestions would be welcome. VK6RBY, the Bunbury 2-metre and 70-centimetre repeaters are now operational, and signal reports from all areas would be very welcome. Details are as follows. The 70-centimetre repeater is 438.650MHz with a negative 5 MHz offset and a 123Hz, that's 123Hz CT CSS access tone. And then the 2-metre repeater, 146.650MHz. Oh, I see a pattern there. With a minus 600 kHz offset and no access tone required. So, just to repeat, the 70 centimetres, 438.650 with a standard minus 5 MHz. And the 2-metre repeater, 146.650MHz with the minus 600 kHz offset and no access tone required. In the medium term, The club proposes to add All-Star to the 2-metre and IRLP Echolink to the 70-centimetre repeater. There have been a few club members trying their luck with the new International Space Station crossband repeater, and so far VK6, MMB, VK6, PTZ and VK6, TGQ have been monitoring and trying their luck with that repeater. Some VK3 and VK5 stations have been heard. And that was supplied by Norman, VK6, Golf Oscar Mike. Thanks, Norman.
Ham College is back in full swing. Well, not completely. The Tuesday evening course is going well, and the students are progressing with the syllabus, all of them with a good pass in the regulations assessment under their belts. There are still restrictions on being able to run a full foundation course, but we will be back on stream as soon as social distancing requirements are lifted. There is, however, no restriction on us being able to run assessments as long as we give enough notice to the AMC to be able to obtain question papers. AMC assessors can run both remote and face-to-face assessments, so the urban myth that we have shut up shop is very much untrue. If you want an assessment, just express an interest at hamcollege.org.au and the enrolments officer will be in touch to advise you of how to proceed. Come on, why not use the college's online material and get a license? Or from your own study, sit for an upgrade. If the college can help you in any way, we will. This is Mike, VK6 KMS for Ham College.
Hi, this is Alan, VK4 Sierra November, with the Remembrance Day contest results. By all accounts, the 890 or so participants in the Remembrance Day contest had a ball during the 75th anniversary of the event. Conditions were mostly favourable, except for a bit of static around on Saturday night due to storm in some areas around the country. It is no surprise that VK7 have taken honours again. 70% of VK7 participants submitted a log. That is 20% of the state's licensed operators. That has to be a record in anyone's contest. VK6 came in second, with 52% of their participants submitting logs, followed by VK1 at 41% submission rate. Outstanding efforts indeed. Overall, the submission of log percentages were up in all states. 259 logs were received compared to 182 last year. Congratulations go to the following individuals. Single Up Phone was Murray, VK7 Zulu Mike Sierra, setting a new record. Single Up CW was Alan, VK2 Golf Romeo. Single Up Mixed was Steve, VK5 Sierra Foxtrot Alpha, setting another new record. QRP Phone was Heath, VK3 Tango Whiskey Oscar. QRP CW was Chris, VK3 Quebec Bravo. And QRP Mixed was Jared, VK2 India Oscar. The highest scoring rookie was won by Tom, VK5 Foxtrot Alpha Alpha Hotel, with 79 points in the Single Up Phone section. Top foundation operator was Jeff, VK6 Foxtrot Juliet Lima Mike, with 362 points in the Single Up Phone section. The top team, again, was the Cronies Plus One, Richard, VK7 Zulu Bravo X-Ray, Murray, VK7 Zulu Mike Sierra, and Hayden, VK7 Hotel Hotel, with a top score of 2,937, beating their own record from last year. A full report with all the gory details can be downloaded from the WIA contest page. The report includes the manager's report, team results, overall results, statistics, operator comments, records since 2012, and golden logs. A new section for this year called Error Log shows where you and other operators made mistakes. Not in log errors have been omitted due to the excessive number of people who just didn't log the contact. Go figure. The report is in call sign order for ease of use. Thanks to all participants, especially those who submitted logs and photos, and to Peter, VK1 Papa Echo, for organising the speech. Best 73s and see you again next year. This is Alan, VK4 Sierra November.
Next week, News West focuses on the history of amateur radio, bringing you interesting stories from the yesteryear of our hobby. With more than 100 years of amateur radio behind us, there are some fascinating stories to be heard. To achieve this, we perform a sort of archaeological dig through old newspapers and magazines to unearth stories about amateur radio. It's always on the cards that we may miss a story, or there might be a story that we haven't found yet. That's where you come in. Do you know of a story that you'd like us to cover? Did your great uncle Reginald build a spark gap transmitter out of barbed wire and a light globe, or something like that? Send the story to us. Send all contributions as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Delta station, go ahead now, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey.
VK6 Yankee Delta, good morning, Clive. My number is 59015, QSL.
Yeah, it's Morton Milton, I think it is, isn't it? VK6 Yankee Delta, VK6 Charlie Sierra Whiskey, QSL 59015. My number to you is 59040, over.
Yeah, QSL 040, Clive, yeah, this Milton.
So the RD contest is over for another year, and what a terrific contest it was in 2020. My thoughts on this year's event. In 2019, I unofficially made 50 contacts and used it as a real learning curve for this year's event. So in 2020, I took a bit of a different approach, making sure I had three radios on covering all the bands, and making sure my HF, VHF and UHF antennas were tuned and mounted as high as possible, and in the case of 2.70 sims, was on the new tower at 52 feet. My first contact was made at 11.30 on the Saturday morning, and from then on it was a total marathon. It was certainly not a sprint. Albeit, at about 10 to 11 on the Sunday morning, there was definitely a sprint to the finish line, with all stations piling up, making their last contacts before the 11 a.m. deadline. At one stage there, at about 5 to 11, I just sat back for a couple of minutes and took it all in, as I could hear all the VK6s on simplex frequencies tuning in and making some noise. It was a joy to hear on 2 meters. So what were some of the highlights for me in the 2020 RD contest? Well, after sitting back at midday with a cold ale and reflecting on the past 24 hours, the one thing that stood out to me was the amount of old-time operators on air. From guys with 60-plus years all the way down into the 40-plus years, it was an absolute privilege to hear and also talk to those stations. Not forgetting the 001 and 002 stations like myself, there was certainly a broad range of amateur radio operators on the airwaves. And the knowledge and wisdom that was passed on from the old-time operators is something I will live with for a long time. The friendship, laughs and camaraderie was another highlight for me during the 24 hours, and the sharing of frequencies was something to behold. Now here's a story for you coming out of the RD contest this year. At about 11 p.m. on the Saturday evening at one stage there, I got into a real groove, and I felt like Maverick out of the Top Gun movie. There I was piloting the plane, while I had my Iceman Kazansky in the back seat, cleaning up on the bits and pieces. The Iceman, who shall remain anonymous, Yankee Delta, was cleaning up on the little old F-call. Here I was, pedalling as fast as I can on 10 watts, with the full call right behind me, making all the contacts after my hard work. It was a joy to listen to, and we both had an absolute bundle of fun and still talk about it now. There was only one downside to the contest for me, and that was the comatose state at about 4 a.m. on the Sunday morning after getting 3 hours sleep. Trying to work the VK logger while sleep deprived is not an easy task, and at one stage I was logging some very unusual numbers until I discovered my error and had to backtrack for about 10 minutes of non-transmitting time. In summary, I worked the RD contest for approximately 18 hours and made 71 individual station contacts, of 54 of those coming out of VK6 and the remaining 17 spread from VK1 to VK7. In summary, the 2020 RD contest was definitely the highlight of my radio operator experience. So if you're thinking about going into the 2021 RD contest, I can only thoroughly recommend it, and we hope to hear you on air next year. Lastly, I'd like to pay a big thank you to those stations who responded to my CQ call during the RD contest. VK6 Fox Whiskey Charlie Baker, VK6
FJLM. VK6 FJLM, VK6 Fox Whiskey Charlie Bravo. My number to you is 59003, 59003 QSL.
Yeah, QSL there, colon 59002 back to you, and a nice solid 5 and 9 signal, QSL.
Roger that.
Thanks, Jeff and Alan. The RD contest certainly attracted some attention. Congratulations to our own Jeff, VK6FJLM, for gaining second place in the single operator QRP phone section and top place in the foundation licensee class, followed by Mon, VK6FMON. 7 F calls from VK6 entered the contest. The rest of us didn't get a place, so well done, Jeff and Mon. You can look up your placing at vklogchecker.com. Now, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd wish that more clubs and interest groups would take advantage of the Club Focus edition of News West to advertise their existence and what they do with themselves. Counting on my fingers, there are about 14 amateur radio clubs and interest groups in round Western Australia, and we hear from 4 of them on average. I have no idea why the rest of them don't show any interest in promoting their club or group and showing off what they do. Perhaps you know why your club doesn't promote itself and its activities. Is it worth sharing with the rest of us? Send your thoughts to newswest at vk6.net, or better still, start promoting your club or group. Send your promo or news to newswest at vk6.net any week. At NewsWest, we strive to provide news about amateur radio that is relevant to or of interest to Western Australians. We receive contributions and use material from sources outside of our own resources, and information presented in this broadcast may not represent the views of WA Amateur Radio News or the broadcasters. NewsWest is presented in the open spirit that is amateur radio. And speaking of NewsWest content, we do encourage contributions from outside the team. Content is largely unrestricted. However, it must be relevant to amateur radio, especially to us here in Western Australia, and must follow the normal rules about respect and truthfulness. You can send your contribution or suggestion to newswest at vk6.net.
Hi, this is Dan, VK6NAD. So, this is a hobby of experimentation, but many of us come to it not being electronic or radio techs by career. Instead, attracted because of our past love of CB, perhaps, in our youth. All too often, and probably rightly so, our path into amateur radio involves utilisation of old electronics, be it for budget reasons, or just love of old things of quality that we couldn't afford when they were in their heyday. Problem is, old electronics fail. This is where experimentation comes in. Those of us who are not techs may not know where to begin. However, as licensed amateurs, if so motivated, we should not be afraid to embark on a mission of understanding to try and fix these old dinosaur bits of equipment. So, where to begin? Safety. But we'll come back to that. I'm a tinkerer and have been known many times in the past to pull things from camera shutters to VCRs apart and put them back together again, in working condition with no spare parts, most of the time. I think having a logical, systematic approach is the key, and with modern phones, taking a lot of pictures as you go. Always start by asking Uncle Google. Normally, if you type the model of equipment and fault, you'll find a multitude of experiences from other hams, along with schematics and service manuals. A word to the wise, read multiple accounts with successful solutions to the problem and form your own opinion on the author's level of expertise, and always start with the relevant chapters of the service manual. Don't forget, one of the best places to go for advice is your local club, and you may even find an online users group for the very device you're working on. When you first open your device, look for obvious signs of trauma, burnt components, etc. Often you will find problems related to worn out or leaky electrolytic capacitors, dry solders, ground issues, or blackened components that have clearly lost their smoke. In my case, having finally gotten fed up with trying to run multiple radios off a car battery, I brought a 35 amp power supply at a bargain price because it was dead. Possibly being a high amp device, this wasn't the place to start, but there it is. Having downloaded the schematic, I knew it was a simple device, so figured how hard could it be to find the fault. I took off the lid and couldn't see anything wrong other than a blown fuse, so I replaced it with a slightly larger one, because that's what I had, and plugged it in. Wow, Talk about Australia Day fireworks. The thick 12-volt cable running from the fuse erupted in flames. I've never seen insulation vaporise so fast. The good news was, this left me with a clear arrow pointing to the faulty component. The bad news was, I now had twice as much to fix, and I could have seriously hurt myself. After following the trail of destruction, I quickly discovered a thing called a thyristor, which I googled and discovered was acting as a rectifier diode. With further help from the internet, I set up a simple light globe test circuit and satisfied myself that it was broken. Once all the blackened cable and components were renewed as per schematic, plus everything around the thyristor was tested, I once again powered up the unit, this time with the correct fuse. Success, and it's worked ever since. Now that safety thing. First off, if you're inexperienced, stay away from high voltage, bearing in mind that valve-related gear often runs at very high voltage. These days, I use a residual current device, an RCD, a variac to bring up power slowly on devices that run off mains voltage, and a 250-watt heater lamp, the kind you find in the ceiling of your bathroom, in series with the power to the tested device, such that the heater lamp acts as a load and glows brightly as a warning if a dead short exists. This setup is great for waking up old gear that has deteriorated while sitting idle for many years, and gives a bigger layer of protection. I've since brought many old radios back into serviceable condition, thanks to research and not being afraid to ask other amateurs advice along the way. As long as you keep it safe and stick to low-powered stuff, hopefully the worst you'll do is cause a bit of damage to otherwise dead equipment already destined for the scrap heap. But most importantly, learn how to fix things and discover a greater love for the hobby. Everyone has to start somewhere. This is Dan, VK6NAD.
Thanks for joining us. We didn't receive Roy's helpline this week. I hope Roy's okay. Please send your requests for next week's helpline to Roy's email address, vk6xv@bigpond.com. That's vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. And thanks to the News West team this week, and that's Dan, Jeff, Mike, and I'm Bob VK6POP, the producer. And thanks to the broadcast team and the callback collectors. Next week's News West is History of Amateur Radio, so we'll spend a few days digging up some stories for you. Unless you, of course, would like to dig up your own stories and send them to us, newswest@vk6.net. Until then, get on air and make some noise.